I noted in the Sunday school lesson, or actually the scripture reading for the Sunday school lesson today, it centered around the resurrection. And when certain ones went to the place where Jesus lay, he was not there. And the words were stated, "He is not here, he is risen." And I feel these are important words. And likewise, we sang one of the songs today concerning Jesus Christ being risen. And I'd like to read today from James, the first chapter in the 12th verse, some words of responsibility. Likewise, some other things of admonition that we're to do. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." In this life, it is not said that there would be no temptation, but it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." And as I bring various things out today, I want to show that temptation is ever about us in our lifetime. But it does indicate that we can endure this temptation. And then it says, "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." And this crown of life was made possible by Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you and I, and was resurrected from the dead, that we too might one day live and be with them if we endure this temptation which is ever about us. And it says, "The Lord hath promised this crown of life to them that love him." I like this other passage of scripture in 1 Peter, the 6th through the 9th verses. And how true this is of perhaps each one of us. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, and note this, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." And so for a season, all too often we may become in heaviness because of the manifold temptations that are about us. But note this, that the trial of your faith, and our faith will be tried in this life. This one in the first chapter of the book of James says that the trying of your faith works patience. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold which perisheth." And man, since the beginning of time, has sought gold and the value of it. And yet, gold can perish. But the trial of your faith is more precious than this. "Though it be tried with fire, and the trials may be many, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, for he has promised to return one day again, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." So we can rejoice in all this, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And there is the beautiful promise of the end of one's faith, even the salvation of one's soul. I'd like to turn one in the book of Helaman, the 2nd chapter, and found on page 556. These are the words of a father to his son, as Helaman spoke to his sons. And I like these words, and they evidently re-spoke these words, and here they are written for our benefit. starting with verse 67. And these are the words which he spake. They're talking about their father Helaman. Behold, my sons. And I want us to each listen closely to this passage of Scripture today. I desire that you should remember to keep the commandments of God. Plain, simple language, is it not? And I would that you should declare unto the people these words. Not only keep the commandments of God, but declare unto the people these words. And then he says, behold, I have given unto you the names of our first parents. In other words, those that came out from Jerusalem, Lehi and Nephi and those. And this I have done, that when you remember your names, in other words, when you note your names, that you do this, that ye may remember them. And when you remember them, you may remember their works. And when you remember their works, ye may know how that it is said and also written that they were good. And I want us to ponder upon this and the full impact of this statement. He's telling them now about their first parents that came out from Jerusalem. And he could even went farther back, but this is where he chose. And then he says, I want you to remember their works and if they were good. And when you remember your name, he wants them to do this, to remember their works. Therefore, my sons, I would that ye should do that which is good, that it may be said of you, and also written even as it has been said and written of them, that the same might be said of them, that your works too are good. And now, my sons, behold, I have somewhat more to desire of you. Which desire is that ye may do these things that ye may not boast? In other words, keep the commandments of God. Do the good works that ye may not boast, but that ye may do these things to lay up for yourselves a treasure in heaven. That is why. Which is eternal, which fadeth not away, yea, that ye may have that precious gift of eternal life, which we have reason to suppose hath been given to our fathers. And they suppose that this precious gift of eternal life hath been given to our fathers. I want to turn to another passage of Scripture that I had cause to use already this week, but it ties here concerning this precious gift of eternal life, concerning a Savior who laid down his life and was resurrected that we might have this precious gift of eternal life. And it was promised, or is promised in the 21st chapter of Revelations, that one day there would be a new heaven and there would be a new earth. And also, it spoke of a holy city coming down out of heaven. And then it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's why I wanted to speak somewhat today along this line of the importance of our enduring temptation and being able to one day receive that crown of life which is promised to those that love God, those that show their willingness to keep his commandments and follow his words. And here it shows the things that are part of this precious gift that he has made possible. And that day is said one time, he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. The things that we're so aware of today, that has been so much a part of our life, that has caused the sorrow and the heartache, the pain, one day will all pass away. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. It is important that we inherit all things and overcome it. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If we overcome, we can inherit all things. I would like to turn to the second chapter of Peter, and of 2 Peter, and read the 9th verse. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to do this, to deliver the godly out of temptation. I would like to turn to some words again in the book of Alma. Another father speaking to his son on page 441. This is found in verses 66 and 67. As Alma spoke unto his son Helaman, which Helaman was a minister of God, and he told him, preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Two important things this day. Preach unto the people repentance and having their faith on Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves, which is vital as well, and to be meek and lowly in heart. For Jesus himself was meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil. And this seems, this day, is among the things I want to stress, the importance of enduring temptation. And here it tells very plainly, teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil. So people need taught how to withstand the temptations of the devil, and how with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way. Teach them to never be weary of good works. Already I brought out in the book of Helaman about those people's first parents who had these goodly works, and they were good before God. And to teach them to never be weary of goodly works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. And it is promised, if we do this, we can find rest for our souls. I would like to turn also in the 16th chapter of the book of Alma on page 431 and read 237 and 238. As Amulek spoke to a group of people, and these people incidentally were the Zoramites, and these were the poorer part of the people who had been cast out of their places of worship. And then he spoke unto them the words of life. He spoke unto them the importance of repentance. He spoke unto them about keeping their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you remember these things, and that ye work out your salvation with fear before God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, and that ye humble yourselves even to the dust, and worship God in whatsoever place ye may be in spirit and in truth. And so they were told responsibilities, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily, a further charge for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually. Another charge of the importance of prayer in our individual lives, of being watchful continually unto prayer. Why? That ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil. So this is outlined here, a way that we might be able to endure this temptation that is ever about us. And the key is that we be watchful unto prayer continually. Why? That this evil one may not overpower you, that you may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. God and Christ rewardeth you good things if you follow them, even the promise of a day of being free from sorrow and pain, and all the former things being passed away that we once knew here that caused distress. But the devil rewardeth no good thing. We back up into verse 77, and I want to touch a little at this time on the life of Korihor, one who once knew God but yielded to the temptation of the devil, and as a result he got where he didn't even know God any longer, and his final end was death. And thus we see the end of him who perverteth the ways of the Lord in verse 77. And thus we see, and this is what I want to stress, that the devil will not support his children at the last day. And I want to impress that upon the minds of everyone. Those who follow the devil, he will not support them at the last day. But God and Christ will support those who follow them. And then he says, but doth speedily drag them down to hell. That is what the devil and the way he functions. Backing up to verse 57, I want to touch a bit upon the life of Korihor that brought about this disastrous situation. And so Alma spoke unto him and said, I am grieved because of the hardness of your heart. Yea, and that ye will resist the spirit of truth, that thy soul may be destroyed. And then Korihor's answer was, I do not deny the existence of a God, but I do not believe that there is a God. And he was in a sad state of mind, that he didn't even believe in a God. And he says, show me a sign that I may believe. And we know the story that Alma says, this will be the sign unto you. You will be struck dumb. You will not have utterance from this time forward. And so his power of speech was taken away. And then we find the chief judge writing unto him, or rather speaking unto him. He says, art thou convinced of the power of God now? Do you know that there is a God? And then Korihor put forth his hand and wrote, saying, I know that I am dumb, for I cannot speak, And I know that nothing, save it were the power of God, could bring this upon me. So now, again, he knew, even though he said there was no God, when he lost his voice and it was taken away and now he was dumb, he knew nothing. He knew that it could be nothing but the power of God that had taken it away. And then he says, and I also knew that there was a God. In other words, in his early life, he knew there was a God. But why did he change? And this is why I want to impress this upon your minds this day. Even though a people might know that there was a God, if we don't watch and pray always and continually against the power of the evil one, we might fall into the same circumstances as Korihor fell. And let's read what he says. Yeah, I knew there was a God, but behold, the devil hath deceived me. For he appeared unto me in the form of an angel. He don't always have to appear obnoxious. He appeared to Korihor in the form of an angel and said unto me, go and reclaim this people, for they have all gone astray after an unknown God. That's what he told him. And he said unto me, there is no God. And he taught me what I should say. And I have taught his words. And I taught them because they were pleasing unto the carnal mind and unto the man of sin, we might add. And I taught them even until I had much success, insomuch that I verily believed they were true. And for this cause I withstood the truth, even until I brought this great curse upon me. So I've chosen this today to show what happened to a person who followed other courses. And it was through the cunning and the deceit of the devil. God is wise, not the devil, but he is cunning, and he is deceitful, ever trying to lead the children of men astray. I would like to turn to the book of John, the 8th chapter, and read 2 verses. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That shows the importance of continuing in the words of Jesus Christ. And it says, if you continue in his words, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, free from sin. And we couldn't underestimate the importance of following Christ and keeping his words. Jesus Christ also said in this same book, in the 14th chapter of John, if ye love me, keep my commands. And that's what I brought out to start with in the opening statement today in James, wherein I mentioned concerning enduring temptation. And when one is tried, he can receive the crown of life, and he's promised to them that love him. And so we show him that we love him by keeping his commandments. You see how all these wonderful scriptures tie together. And the importance of the Word of God in our lives cannot be underestimated. I mentioned last fall, I believe, after I come back from the Phoenix reunion, about a testimony of Sister Ruth Willard. And now she is passed in this life. But she sat in her wheelchair that day. She was talking about the rod of iron. And we're all well aware that the rod of iron is a representation of the Word of God. And Lehi and Nephi saw it in a rather marvelous vision. And she says, don't turn loose of the rod of iron. And so I charge you today, don't turn loose of the rod of iron or the word of God. It will carry you through your every need. And I would like to turn to 1 Nephi, the 4th chapter, on page 45, and read a bit about this. For certain ones of Nephi's brothers came to him, and I'd like to start reading in verse 38. And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? What does it really mean? And I said unto them that it was the word of God. And whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. They would never perish. And that's why it is important. Neither could the temptation and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction, as it did to Korihor. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul, and with all the faculty which I possessed, that they would give heed unto the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. And these are important words this day. We need to place them in our memory bank and not forget the importance of keeping the words of Jesus Christ and keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ as well. Now, while he walked the face of this earth, he did the will of his heavenly Father, lest we might be inclined to forget. In all instances, he did the will of his heavenly Father. Those commandments were given unto them. He in turn gave them to those that he taught, and especially to his 12 apostles he gave them. But he taught all of his disciples. And those that followed him learned the truth, and the truth made them free. I would like to turn to page 32 in this same book, in 1 Nephi, the 3rd chapter, and starting with verse 125. And we know that in this same vision that Lehi and Nephi had, and I hope you don't tire of my retelling this, but it ties this day with various things I want to bring out. That as various ones press forward, grasping the rod of iron, that mists of darkness arose. And the mists of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eyes and hardeneth the hearts of the children of men, and leadeth them away into the broad road, that they may perish and are lost. And the large and spacious building which the Father saw is vain imaginations and the pride of the children of men. That was another part of this vision. The vain imaginations of man in which he is inclined to be a partaker of. The pride which so often enters the heart of the children of men. And we know that two great nations fell because of pride. Battles and such like, they too dwindled in unbelief because they failed to follow God and Christ. It's all there, so plain and simple. Let's turn to Alma 16:85 on page 417. And I'd like to read verses 85 through 87. I read somewhat about the Zoramites earlier. They were the people who just worshipped one day in a week, and they built a little stand, and they crawled up on this stand, and they worshipped in the middle of their synagogue, and after that was done, they didn't worship anymore. And this was the poor class of people that Alma and them spoke to. But anyway, it said the Zoramites were dissenters from the Nephites. Therefore, they had the word of God preached unto them. Now, this is what I want to stress this day. Even though this people got a strange method of worshiping God, they once knew God. They once had the word of God preached unto them. So I can't stress enough of the importance of us following the words of God and Jesus Christ, and have ever been watchful unto prayer. But they had fallen into great errors, for they would not observe to keep the commandments of God and his statutes according to the law of Moses. Neither would they observe the performances of the church to continue and in prayer and supplication to God. They wouldn't observe this, the importance of continuing in prayer and supplication. There is others who have admonished us to continue in prayer and to pray over every activity of life, whether it be our livelihood or what it might be. And they didn't observe to continue in prayer and supplication daily, that they might not enter into temptation. Yea, and find they did pervert the ways of the Lord in very many instances. Therefore, for this cause, Alma and his brethren went to the land to preach unto these people. And we see here how important this is in our individual lives. And the last one concerning watching and praying that I've chosen here is on page 651 in the Book of Mormon. And this was a statement of Jesus Christ. Even as he taught his apostles in Jerusalem, he also taught his 12 disciples in this land. Starting with verse 47, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And then he says, as I have prayed among you, even so ye shall pray in my church among my people who do repent and are baptized in my name. And then he says, I am the light. I have set the example for you. And then he turned unto the multitude and said, ye also must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation, for Satan desireth to have you. And then it goes on to say in this same one, therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. I would like to turn to 1 John now, the third chapter. And this is found in verses 21 through 24. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. I feel this is a rather significant passage of Scripture this day. If our heart don't condemn us, we have confidence toward God, toward what God can do in our individual lives. And there are scripture after scripture that indicates of the blessings that can be ours if we will but serve God and keep his commandments. And this says we have confidence if our heart condemn us not. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he hath gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we do know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And this Spirit has been given unto the children of men, if they will but follow and keep his commandments. And we have this confidence if we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I want to turn to John, the 14th chapter, and read a few verses here concerning that Spirit that is given unto the children of men. I already quoted this in John 14, but I want to read, let's read 14 through 18. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, that is what is promised to those that believe and keep his words and his commandments. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We have promised there what God and Jesus Christ can do for us. And this especially was Jesus and the great promise he gave unto the children of men. And when we tie this all back to his willingness to live here, to suffer persecution, and even to die, he did it that man might once again live. And he was the first of the resurrection. So when the words are said, he is not here, he is risen. This day indeed, these are wonderful words. And in verse 23 it says, if any man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And then we find in verses 26 and 27, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That shows the importance of this Spirit functioning in our individual lives. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. That's another part of what we can expect. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So in a world that is filled with fear, apprehension, and distress, I find that these are comforting words to not let our heart be troubled and to neither let it be afraid. I find it comforting words to know that the peace of God can rest upon us. Let's rise. Thank you.
with me.